ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
सेक्शन बिटवीन 20 एंड 23. सेक्शन नंबर 20 टू 23 इज
प्रकृतिम् पुरुषम् चैव विध्यनादिवुभावति विकारांश्च गुणांश्चैव विद्धि प्रकृति सम्भवम् कार्यकारणकर्तृत्वे हेतुः प्रकृतिरुच्यते पुरुषः सुखदुःखानाम् भोक्तृत्वे हेतुरुच्यते पुरुषः प्रकृतिस्तो हि भुङ्क्ते प्रकृतिजान्गुण कारणम् गुणसङ्गोऽस्य सदसद्योनिजन्मसु उपदृष्टानुमन्ता च भर्ता भोक्ता महेश्वरः परमात्मेति चाप्युक्तो देहेऽस्मिन् पुरुषः परः. हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे
राम 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 हरे हरे. लास्ट टू वर्सेस 22 and 23. द लिविंग एंटिटी इन मेटीरियल नेचर दस फॉलोज द वेज ऑफ लाइफ एंजॉइंग द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ नेचर. दिस इज ड्यू टू हिज एसोसिएशन विद दैट मेटीरियल नेचर. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Yet in this body there is another, the transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Super Soul. So we were discussing this previous verse, text number 22, huh? Last class. So these verses are very important verses. In today's verse 23, we are discussing about upadrishta, witness to all our actions. Upadrishta, anumanta means sanctioner or permitter. Now who is permitting whom? If you say permitter, there has to be a person who gives permission and there has to be a person who receives permission. You know, to do. Like a teacher is giving a permission to a child to go and drink water and come. So one is giving permission and another is accepting permission. If there is only one soul in this heart, in the region of the heart, Atma so Paramatma, some people say. So you can ask them this question, who is this Anumanta? Or even if you say that Anumanta is only Paramatma and there is no other soul in the body, then you can ask them, whom is he permitting them? So Anumanta implies two people, a permitter and a person receiving permission. Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharta, one who is the proprietor, Bhokta, the enjoyer, Maheshwara. He is not a tiny Ishwara, he is a Maheshwar. Paramatmeti cha apyukto. He is called as Paramatma. Dehe asmin, in this body. Purushaha, paraha. He is a transcendental Purusha. He is not an imitation Purusha like the living entity as described in the previous verse. Purusha prakriti sohi, bhungte prakriti janguna. So in the previous verse also there is a Purusha and here there is another Purusha. But these are two different Purushas. One is the imitation enjoyer and one is a real enjoyer, the real Purusha. We were discussing one particular theme that I wanted to emphasize more today and continue the theme more, and it is very vital for one who desires complete freedom from the clutches of this material existence. In the previous verse, Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhungte Prakriti Janguna, we were talking about that. So we were talking about the living entity who is considering himself the enjoyer. And what is he enjoying? We discuss. What is he enjoying? Prakriti, Jan, Gunan. Which means those things which are born of the three modes of material nature. From Rajagun, Tamagun, Sattagun. Whatever is coming out of that. Whatever is born from the three modes of material nature, he is enjoying them. In the Shastras it is said, the living entity is given abundant enjoyment in this world so that he may get sufficiently frustrated to turn to God. So we may wonder, how can enjoyment frustrate him? How is it possible? There are interesting words by Daksha Prajapati speaking to Narada. Nanu bhuya na janati puman vishaya tikshnatam. He says, na anubhuya. Without having sufficiently experienced, na janati means one cannot understand. Puman, a person, vishaya tikshnatam, the sharpness of material enjoyment. He is saying, without having sufficiently experienced in this world, one cannot understand the sharpness of material enjoyment. He says. And then he says, Nirvidyate Swayam Tasmat. Nirvidyate Swayam Tasmat. Na Tata Bhinnadi Parehi. He is saying, Nirvidyate means to renounce, to give up. Nirvidyate Swayam Tasmat means one automatically gives up the pleasures of this world. Nātatā vinnadhi parahi. But such a renunciation cannot be brought about by any amount of preaching by others. Or any amount of admonishment or chastisement by others. So it is a very deep meaning, this verse. I would like to tell you the context in which he said it. You know, he had many sons. Hariyashvas, Savalashvas, whom he produced. First 1,000 and then 10,000. He produced many sons. And they all went to Narayan Saras. They took bath in those pure waters and their consciousness was very clean. And Narada was passing by and he thought, why should these boys get married and, you know, engage in the worldly activities? Better that they become renounced. Let them take the renounced order. Considering like that, Narada made them all brahmacharis, brahmachari students. First time when Narada Muni made the brahmacharis, Daksha was angry. But second time also Narada Muni told the same thing. He caught the younger brothers and told them, you should follow your elder brothers. And he sent them also in the same path. So that time Daksha Prajapati becomes very angry. And he is telling Narada Muni this thing. He is calling Narada Muni a sadhu. He is calling him a cheater. And he is telling him, you have foolishly diverted my sons from the path of the beauty in the material world. He says that I also want to become renounced in this world, but I know the right procedure. Dharma, Artha, Kama, and then Moksha. You should do religious activities by being a Sadharma Nishtha. By performing your Sadharma, you should perform your Dharma, and then you should learn Artha, enjoy Kama in this world, and then what will happen? Na Anubhuya, through Anubhuya, Anubhuya. Anubhuya means experience. Of all the enjoyment, gradually you will come to a point of frustration. And then you should aspire for moksha. At that time you should take sannyas. But you have foolishly preached strongly, balotpadita. Balotpadita means by force. You have preached to my sons, you have brainwashed them. And you have made them leave the material world and take to the renounced order. In this way, you have cheated those innocent boys. You don't know actually, you will see that these innocent boys, and given an opportunity, they will run for enjoyment. So you have cheated them by, making them all brahmacharis. That is his argument. Very powerful argument. Because it seems a very logical argument. There are some people who say, why this, even in ISKCON, they are catching these young boys and shaving them up and making them brahmacharis, and they are suppressing all the desires. If they suppress the desires at such a young age, it will explode one day. They compare it often to a steam cooker. Or like, You have kept the LPG in a gas cylinder, isn't it? It's going to explode one day, like volcanic eruption or something. So many people think like that, how such young people are brainwashed to leave everything of the world, and they are not sufficiently mature to renounce the pressures of the world. So the same question was asked by him also, Daksha Prajapati Narada. And he told Narada, I am a real sadhu. Why? Because I am following the Grihastha Dharma, I am following all the activities according to the Shastra. And I am undergoing all these experiences. Why? Not for the sake of enjoying, he said. My goal is renunciation. But unless you experience this, you will not come to the point of realization. So that is why he said, Puman Vishaya Tikshnata. Material enjoyment, how it is suffering, you have to learn it, experience it yourself. So although this argument seems very sound and very attractive, Srila Prabhupada in the purport comments, he rejects it. He calls it a foolish argument. You know why? It is said, experience is the best teacher, but a fool learns by no other way. It is said. People often know only the first part of the sentence. Experience is the best teacher, but many people don't know the second part. Fool learns by no other way. So Prabhupada says in the purport an example that sometimes a lady who is pregnant, you know, is going to beget a child. She is in the hospital and, you know, when the child is delivered, it's a very painful thing. One feels as if I'm going to lose my life. So at such a time, a woman feels, at last I got this child enough. Now I don't want any more children. She feels like that. But the Prabhupada says, after a year or two, you find her again coming pregnant to the hospital. Prabhupada gives that example. So, the material enjoyment is like this only. The experience may bring about some smashan vairagya, temporarily. But it doesn't last for a long time. At that time, the realization you get seems to be very powerful. Sometimes you want to renounce everything of the world. And then you find again one goes back to square A. Again. Again and again. Then what's the solution? Then is the solution to experience or not experience, and what is the solution? So, the Shastras explain that there has to be an awakening of knowledge. If you read the Priyavrat Maharaja section, now Priyavrat was married to, who is Barishat's daughter? What was her name? Barishat's daughter. Barishmati, yeah. Her name was Barishmati, yeah. So, Priyavrat was a very great mendicant, renunciate. So, he was inspired by Brahma and Swayambhava Manu to leave his sadhu business and take up the responsibility in the world and become king of the world, and he did that also. And while passing his time as a king, very righteous king and everything, at one point he became maddened by the beauty of Barishmati. So, he himself later on calls himself like a, you know, like a toy, like play toy in the hands of woman. Many things is caused himself. He becomes attached to the material world. But fortunately, because he followed the orders of the great source, he was liberated. So in the material world, the nature is that if one thinks by experience I will renounce the world, one can be misled also. So Prabhupada explains that the material enjoyment, one has to know it, that it is suffering. And one has to know that knowledge. One has to hear that knowledge. That's why the first class knowledge is that you hear it and you renounce it. This does not mean that the brahmacharis and sannyasis are wise and they have given up the enjoyment, and the grihasthas who are married are less wise, or they are second class. And that's not exactly the meaning. Because irrespective of whether you are brahmachari or sannyasi or grihastha, the question is whether we have got that realization. That material enjoyment is poison. Have we digested this realization? If a brahmachari sannyasi has not digested it, they are internally struggling in their mind with manashashtani indriyani, prakritishtani karshati, struggling by contemplating on the false material enjoyment. They haven't achieved the realization, then they are unfortunate. Same thing with a householder, whoever it is. That realization has to dawn in the heart that material enjoyment is equal to suffering. metal of misery. One has to get this realization awakened in the heart. And by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, just to awaken our heart, that realization. Just like he says, Puman Vishaya Tikshnatam. Why? The sharpness of metal enjoyment, he says, sometimes you see colorful broken glass pieces. They look very attractive. You have seen children play with broken bangles, isn't it? And they look very attractive because of different colors. But while playing with them, one can hurt one's hand, can start bleeding. So metal enjoyment is like that. It is fun to begin with and it ends up in terrible suffering. Like I was telling some months ago, if you remember, the example of getting into the wave of Jagannath Puri. Okay. In Jagannath Puri, it is fun to play with the waters if you are standing near the shores, isn't it? And then you go little inside, then you will be completely toppled in the water. You will be toppled in the water and then you will find a huge wave will come and slap you on the face, slap you on the chest and it will completely roll you down to the ground and you will find all sand entering into eyes and ears and nose and mouth and all over the body. So what began as fun can be a life threat if one is playing with those dangerous waters. That's why once when Prabhupada was passing by with his disciples on the bank of the ocean, one devotee was telling Prabhupada, Prabhupada, today it seems there is a high tide, it's very dangerous. Prabhupada said, high tide, ocean is always dangerous. Prabhupada said, not only high tide, the metal enjoyment is like that, it is always dangerous. It is not now or later. One should always realize that it is always dangerous. So, unfortunately, the conditioned soul does not realize this fact. He thinks maybe there is some enjoyment there. That maybe only makes his life a mess. He is not convinced. The real enjoyment is in Krishna. The real enjoyment is in the spiritual world. The real nectar is in the holy name. So the living entity is not convinced of this fact, despite hearing or repeated hearing. Or probably it is careless hearing, a negligent hearing. But this consciousness doesn't awaken. So because of which, the living entity with his temporary material senses is struggling for enjoyment. Here it is very important to distinguish between acting with material senses and acting with transcendental senses. This is, we have two senses. Like the senses you see externally, they are called as material senses. So the material senses are like a blanket upon the soul. Like you wear a blanket on you. Similarly, the material senses are like a blanket on the soul. The soul has real senses, pure senses. Pure eyes, pure nose, pure ears, and pure senses are with the soul. Now what is covering the soul is the material senses. But what is the problem with material senses? The material senses are called as kadindriyaihi. This is the word used by Yayati. Sarvabhauma kadindriyaihi. Actually, every word used in Bhagavatam is so pertinent. He is saying, what is it called? Evam varsha sahasrani. Manashashthair, manasukham, vidadano binatrupyat, sarvabhauma kadindriyahi. This is Jayati. He is saying, Devyani, that as a king I ruled and I enjoyed for thousands of years. Evam varsha sahasrani, sahasra. Sahasra means how much? Thousand. Evam varsha sahasrani, manashashthair, manasukham. All this is simply a myth, he is saying. It's only this material enjoyment is mental enjoyment, he is saying. It is not real tangible enjoyment at all. It is simply in the mind. See, most of the people who enjoy material pleasures are those, if you carefully observe, the enjoyment comes to them not so much by experiencing joy with the things they possess, but mostly it comes by impressing others. So where is it? Is it in the mind or is it in one's enjoyment? I can ask this question to yourself. The whole world is centered around impressing one another. So, are you enjoying or you are suffering? We have to ask this question to ourselves. So we suffer to imagine that enjoyment, to imagine that we are enjoying. So by possessing things, no one gets enjoyment. It's like the fish possessing so many different items. Then he is pulled out of the water. It's like that. We don't enjoy actually. But we derive foolish enjoyment when others say, oh, you have so much. Oh, you have done this. By impressing others, then we think, now I have done it now. Now I am great. So that is the material world all about. The whole material world is centered around that. Only. That's why he is saying, manashashtai manasukham. He is saying, it is simply, even Prahlad Maharaj says, kanduti van manasijam jaheta dhiraha. Same thing he is saying. It is simply in the mind. So the material enjoyment is nothing but mental concoction. That's all. It is not a tangible experience of happiness at all. It is simply a mental concoction. Pleasure that we experience in this world through the material objects is a mental concoction. That's how you find different people feel different amount of pride by possessing the same thing. You'll find. For example, one man is possessing a car. Now you give the same car to five different people, their sense of elation and false pride will be different level according to what is going on in one's mind. Because the false pride is actually arising in the mind. The mental enjoyment is nothing but mental concoction. Manashashtai manasukham is it. And then he says, vidadanopi. Even after struggling, endeavoring again and again to enjoy the wives, the wealth, the prosperity, the power, the possessions, position, ministers and elephants and horses and gold and silver and treasury and what not. After having all these things, vidadanopi, natrupyat. Natrupyat means not satisfied. Then he gives the reason why. Sarvabhauma. Although I am the Sarvabhauma, king of the whole world, kari indriyaihi, he said. Because I have impure material senses, despite being the king of the whole world, I could not enjoy, he said. So here, Yati gives a clue that if one tries to enjoy the material world or material pleasures with impure senses, one cannot enjoy. It is not possible. It is equivalent to camel's enjoyment. A camel eating the cactus and drinking his own blood, thinking he is enjoying. It's like that. Or somebody biting a bamboo. One cannot actually get enjoyment. In fact, one suffers and one considers that hellish suffering to be enjoyment. Narakastopi. What is that word? Narakastopi. Narakastopi deham vai napumam saktum ichyati. So he says, one in hell derives hellish enjoyment. Once he's on the Jaira Swami was telling, such a person who is bent upon enjoying this world, he would rather prefer to be a king in hell, he said, rather than a dog in heaven, he said, rather than a servant in heaven. Instead of being a servant in heaven, he would like to be a king in the hell, he was telling. Like, you know, he was telling at the time a nice example. He said, one would prefer to be the king of street dogs, I mean, dogs in a particular street, rather than be a servant in heaven. He was telling. Because he thinks, at least I am a king of dogs, you know. If I bark, others will hear me, you know. He feels like that. He doesn't feel I am a dog. Which is better, to be a devata or a dog? And to be a servant of Brahma, is it better? Or to be a king of dogs is better? He said they would prefer being a king of dogs. He said. Because that is the manashashtair manasukha. The mental enjoyment is like that. Kadindriyaihi. Sarubhauma kadindriyaihi. So, kadindri means impure senses. So, the impure senses are covering the pure senses of the soul. So, what is to be done then? So, we aren't able to see. Just like, for example, I have my real eyes. But now I am wearing a spectacle. And imagine if it is covered with dirt. Completely covered, I can't see. It's almost opaque for me. I can't see. It is opaque. So then what happens? Then I act only with this. So then the spirit soul, he has gone to rest. He is not doing any activity. And who is doing the activity? Then with our impure senses we act in this world. And we bring about untold sufferings to ourselves. That's why we suffer in this world. So even Devahuti is talking about impure senses. నిర్విణ్ణానితరాం భూమన్ అసద్ ఇంద్రియ దర్శనాత్ ఏన సంభావ్యమానేన ప్రపన్న అందం తమః ప్రభో. షీ స్ట్రైంగ్ టు ద స్పెషల్ మాస్టర్ కపిల. షీ సెయింగ్ నిర్విణ్ణా మీన్స్ డిస్గస్టింగ్, నితరాం భూమన్ అసద్ ఇంద్రియ. హియర్ ఆల్సో షీ సెయింగ్ అబౌట్ అసద్ ఇంద్రియ. వాట్ ఈస్ అసద్ ఇంద్రియ? ఇంప్యూర్ మెటీరియల్ సెన్సెస్. అసద్ ఇంద్రియ దర్శన, దాట్ ప్రపోజ్ రైట్స్ ఇఫ్ యూ రీడ్ కపిలాస్ సెక్షన్ ఇన్ ద పర్పల్ ప్రపోజ్ ఇస్ దీస్ ఇంప్యూర్ సెన్సెస్ షీ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఆర్ ద మెటీరియల్ సెన్సెస్ విచ్ ఆర్ కవరింగ్ అప్ ఆన్ ద సోల్ లైక్ అ బ్లాంకెట్ ఆన్ ద సోల్. సో హౌ ఆర్ వీ టు యునో రిమూవ్ దిస్ బ్లాంకెట్ ఆఫ్ ద మెటీరియల్ సెన్సెస్? సో ద ఇంప్యూర్ సెన్సెస్ ఆల్వేస్ డిలైట్ ఇన్ ఇంప్యూరిటీ. దట్ ఈస్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్. ద ఇంప్యూర్ ఐస్ వాంట్ టు సీ ఇంప్యూర్ సైట్స్, ద ఇంప్యూర్ ఇయర్స్ వాంట్ టు హియర్ ఇంప్యూర్ థింగ్స్, అండ్ దట్ కన్సిడర్స్ ఇట్ మోర్ పర్పస్ఫుల్. బహిర్ అర్థమానిన, బహిర్ మీన్స్ the external enjoyment of this world, we consider it to be purposeful, meaningful, tangible, valuable. Crazy, really. Foolishness. Sometimes you see, like a dog or a cat, sometimes you see it has a, you know, it has got some paper, some bunches of paper sometimes. It will not allow anyone to come near. You have seen that? Baba, it will keep barking. As if it's a very valuable thing. Or sometimes you see the scavengers carrying a sack full of some useless things, and if somebody comes to catch them, they will shout, don't touch my sack, as if they are carrying valuable things. Similarly, the living entity also is carrying anartha and considering that anartha to be very purposeful or very valuable. That's why he is saying, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu durashayaye bahir arthamaninaha. Considering the external enjoyment to be very valuable or purposeful, foolishly. So, when we are covered with impure mind, I mean impure senses, and in impure senses, then we consider the impure things to be pure, useless things to be valuable, temporary things to be permanent, dangerous things to be enjoyable things. So that is called as avidya. That's the technical definition of avidya. Avidya means to consider pure, consider impurity to be purity, considering temporary things to be permanent. That is avidya. This is avidya, the greatest disease of the soul. Soul is suffering in the material world. Very unfortunate. He considers the divine things to be mundane, the mundane things to be divine. So he goes to temple and he challenges, what is this deity? He may consider the deity to be made of stone or wood. Whereas he considers the body of opposite sex to be divine. Divine and transcendental. That is actually perishable, mundane object. But he considers that very valuable. But he considers the deity to be mundane and material. See? So, as long as our eyes are tinged with avidya, we are covered with impure material senses, we always, unfortunately, cannot have access to the transcendental reality that is practically present in every atom, all around us. So, the answer to this problem is that one has to awaken the transcendental senses, and one should not act with material senses. Now, how to do that? It is very easy for a submissive and surrendered devotee. It is very easy. Which means, for example, based on our eyes tinged with avidya, we are going to perceive things wrongly. But one should have a firm faith in the words of the spiritual master, which are full of transcendental wisdom. So then one should see transcendently, based on the words of the spiritual master. Whatever the spiritual master says, one should hear that attentively with the ears, and one should see accordingly. That's what is called a Shastra Chakshu, we call it. Shastra Chakshu means see through the eyes of the Shastra. That's how one should see. For example, I am going in a train. I am eating very sattvic prasad, Kichdi, simple kichdi I am eating. Suddenly I find somebody is bringing, in front of me, somebody is buying vada pav, filled with chili powder. Fragrant. Whatever you call it. Avidya tells me that it is fragrant. Makes me think it is fragrant. But actually, How much is it good for me? If I put so much chili powder in my mouth, what will happen to my stomach? Isn't it? It is not good. So, now how can I see with Shastra Chakshu? I have to see it is sinful. What this person is eating is sinful. It is not a food offered to God. He is eating sin. As he says, what is that verse? Yajnashishta asinasanta mucchyante sarva kilbishahi bhungjate te tu agham papa. He is simply eating sin. So one should see like that. So it's not edible for me. So every time my impure senses are seeing something, considering it to be enjoyable, relishable, immediately I should remember the words of the spiritual master. And I should awaken the transcendental senses and I should see with the Shastra Chakshu, with the eyes of scripture. Scriptures say, no, this is not the right way of seeing. You should see like this. So that's the proper thing, civilized behavior. What are the principles of civilized behavior? Matrava paradareshu. Considering other men's wife to be one's own mother. Paradrabhyeshu loshtrava. Considering other people's wealth to be garbage. One should never want to enjoy other man's wealth. Atmavat sarva bhuteshu. When it comes to treating people properly, nicely, then one should treat others as one wants to be treated in a gentlemanly way. Like that. So, you will see that the transcendental senses are now sleeping in our system and the material mundane senses are wide awake and we are acting based on them. So that's why we have to make a strenuous attempt to awaken the transcendental senses by hearing the Guru and applying it in our life, although there will be a lot of inertia in our system. We will have to really strenuously endeavor to act according to the teachings of the Shastra. One has to act like that. Gradually then the transcendental senses awaken. For great souls, for example, like Raghunath Das Goswami, or Haridas Thakur, or Sanatana Goswami, they all have awakened the transcendental senses. So they act transcendently, completely. See, Sanatana is walking in the hot sand in Puri and going to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even there are blisters on his soles of his feet. And he goes and meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is feeling so much ecstasy. And Mahaprabhu is asking, how did you come? And he says, I came through the sand. I came through the beach. And Mahaprabhu is finding that Sanatana's face is full of smile. He doesn't feel even a pinch of suffering. And then he is checking his soles of his feet and it's all full of blisters. But Sanatana says, I don't feel any pain. In fact, when I was walking in the beach of the ocean, simply my meditation on you, remembering that I am going to meet you, that made me completely forget about what am I walking on. I didn't even see. So he was acting transcendently. Haridas Thakur was beaten up in so many marketplaces. He didn't feel any pain because he was constantly remembering the Lord in the mind. So in this way we find many pastimes in the scriptures where devotees have been acting transcendently, acting, considering themselves as spirit soul, servant of Krishna. Actually, the holy name has that power to completely submerge us in transcendental meditation and remembrance of Krishna. It's very much possible. Like we do Mangalarti, for example, every day. The Mangalarti, the Kirtan, the Sankirtan has the power to awaken our transcendental senses to the spiritual reality of the spiritual world, to the Lord's presence, to the devotee's presence, and one can completely become oblivious to the external material world, which is simply a superficial world. One can become oblivious to that. So when the transcendental senses are awakened, then we should come to the other point which we were discussing before. If you remember, I was telling you in the last class, we were discussing about how all of us are in a particular field, the body is a field, we are in a particular field, and we are situated in that particular field, and we are enjoying our suffering in that particular field, isn't it? Now there are some people who blame their conditionings and circumstances. They will say that actually I am a very sincere person, I am a very good person, but you see my past conditionings are such that, I have fallen prey to this habit. It's not that I want to do. It's my conditionings. So this seems to be a very interesting thing, isn't it? So they seem to be very sincere people. but they are not sincere. We can tell why. You see, the field in which we are currently present and the circumstances in which we are present is not imposed on us. It is chosen by us. It is chosen by us. We have only chosen to put ourselves in the current condition in which we are in, the current body. For example, I was telling you, if you remember, for example, once you put yourself in a particular field, then you have to stick to those rules. For example, if you are playing chess, you know, it's not that you have no freedom. You have freedom, but the freedom that is given to you in playing chess is based on certain rules. You can move the pawn like this. You can't move it like this. Correct? There is some restriction in there. If you are playing carrom, there are some rules. If you are playing some cards, you can't, you know, try to see others' cards. You know, you have some rules to follow when you are playing cards. So every game you follow, there are some rules. Similarly, if you are in a dog's body, there are some limitations. You can't, you know, be put in a dog's body and you want to fly, you can't fly. Or if you are in a bird's body, you can fly, but you can't swim like a fish. Or if you are in a human body, neither can you fly, you know, nor can you run as fast as a horse or something. So, in every material body, which is a field, there are certain limitations for the conditioned soul. So, now we cannot blame why I am put in this limited body. Why are there these limitations? Now I am telling you in a very crude way, example of dog, cat, fish and dog. Now take alone the human body. Every one of us has a different psychophysical nature. You know, there is Kirata, Hunanda, Tulinda, Pulakasha, Arjira, Shumba, Yavana, Kashayaka. Go from there and then gradually you will come to Mlecha, Chandala, Yavana, all that, and then you will come to Shudra, then Vaishya, then Kshatriya and then Brahman. So from the first class, second class, third class, fourth class, fifth class, tenth class, twelfth class, Prabhupada used to go on sometimes. So there are so many types of bodies even within the human body. That's why there are 400,000 human species, isn't it? There are 400,000 human species. Because all these species are actually more and more and more evolved, higher and higher and higher. And the demigods are also in this. The most evolved human beings are the pure devotees. Purna Vikasit Chetana. They are the most evolved consciousness. And they are even above the demigods also. They are pure devotees. In fact, the demigods worship the pure devotees. That is the platform. So, even in our human body, we can find that we all have so many different types of psychophysical natures. And some of us have certain type of habits and conditioning which we may blame. Like some people say, you know, why don't you do this? Because, oh, I'm not used to doing it. If you say you are not used to doing it, then you have to do it because it is good. For example, you tell someone, please chant the holy names. Oh, I am not used to chanting. Okay, get used to it. If it is good, then why don't you get used to it? So you get up in the morning, oh, I am not used to getting up. Okay, now you start getting up. Get used to good habits. Give up the bad habits. Don't blame the conditionings. Because the field in which we are present is not imposed on us, it is chosen by us. We only have chosen it. We have chosen the circumstances in which we are currently living now. And if we refuse to utilize our free will and resist the temptations, subdue the passions and rise above them and by sublimating them, if we don't do that now, then we will be subjected to even another field which may impose probably far greater limitations. Isn't it? Say for example, somebody is lusty. So they know they are lusty. But if they don't rise above lust and transform it into love, then that lust may impel them to perform actions which will limit them even more. That's what happened with Nalakur Manigrive, isn't it? Nalakur Manigrive had a heavenly body, but they misused it. They did not properly use it. Then what happened? They got the body of a tree. Isn't it? You see? Which is more limited? Is the limitations in human body are more or tree's body are more? Tree's body. Like Prabhupada once told this example, that you dig a pit in the ground and if somebody puts you in the ground up to your knee and then they close the ground and say, okay, you be like this. How many days can you stand like that? And you can't even stand there like that even for a few hours. You will start yelling and crying, help, help. Somebody take me out of this. I want to come out. But a tree is standing like that for, you know, 5,000 years. Can you imagine? Yeah, that's because it's limited. He was so nasty that he is not allowed to move his hands or legs. He has to stand like this. So he is limited like that. And the animals have little more freedom. And human beings have even more freedom. So we can easily observe that to the degree the living entity has the enjoying mentality, bhungte prakriti janguna, to that degree limitations are imposed on him. Just like, for example, like sometimes a child is doing naughty activities in the home. What does mother do? She ties the child with the rope, isn't it? Even Yashoda does that for Krishna, isn't it? In India it's very common. How many of you, when you were children, you were bound by your mother with a rope? How many of you? Some of them are shy to raise their hand. Almost all of us. Isn't it? You're tied by a rope to the pole or something, isn't it? So that you can't run here and there. Otherwise you'll create too much trouble. Nowadays modern parents have become, after hearing American psychology, they don't want to trouble the children too much.
Tied to the TV.
Huh? Tied to the TV now. You think they are tied to the TV. So that ruins them. At least if you are tied to your pole and given some toys to play, you will not get as much spoiled as when you are tied to your TV. Yeah. So why was the child tied to the pole? What was the reason? Because he was naughty. Isn't it? Now imagine, even after being tied to the pole, if the child continues to be naughty, if he is monkeying too much, then his hands and legs also will be tied. Like you find the policeman handcuffing some thieves, right? Why they handcuff their hands? So that they will not be allowed to do something wrong. Similarly, when the living entity tries to enjoy more and more, to that degree he becomes bound by the stringent laws of material nature. And how is it done? By giving him lower and lower bodies. Like Krishna says, Tanaham Dushatat Kruran Samsareshu Naradhaman Kshipami Adasram Vashubhan Asurishu Yeva Yonishu. They will get asuric bodies if one tries to going on it. Like, modern boys and girls are asking, why not we enjoy life? Eat, drink and be merry. Then one should be ready to become asura in the next life. So it is said, such enjoying mentality makes men into monsters and women into witches. In one way degraded by that enjoying mentality. That's why Asurim Yoni Mapanna Mudha Janmani Janmani Mam Aprapyaiva Kaunteya Tato Yanti Atamam Gatim. Krishna says, such a person who is going on trying to enjoy independent of God, what happens to him? He says that he becomes asura, then he goes further and further lower. He becomes a dog, he becomes a cat, he becomes a rat, he becomes amoeba. So in this way he goes down and down, lower and lower, very unfortunate. So Krishna has given warnings in Bhagavad Gita, Yeme Matamidam Nityam Anutishtanti Manavaha. Those who follow my instructions, I am giving in Bhagavad Gita, and become righteous devotees, Muchyante, they will all be delivered from this world and they will go back to Godhead. And those who don't follow this good instruction, they will go down. They will go down to hell. So, it's not a joke in this world to control the mind and senses. It's a strenuous endeavor to control the mind and senses and to keep them applied always in the Lord's service. That can only be done in good association, by satsanga, by strictly adhering to the superior instructions of the spiritual master, like that. So, we are currently in a particular field, and prakritistha, it says, purusha prakritistha means we are situated in the prakriti, material body. We have nothing to give and take with this material world, yet we are caught in it, and we are not able to come out also. We are caught up in it. But we have to spend some period of time, whatever time is allotted to us in this particular body. And while being in this body, it is said, Upadrishta, Anumanta, there is also Lord, our most dear friend in the heart. And he is a witness, how wonderful it is. When I first read this verse, I was so jolly when I read this verse. Thank God, at least there is somebody superior to me watching me every moment. And imagine if your mother and father are watching you, they will always protect you and save you from going in the wrong path. So Lord is Upadrishta and he is Anumanta, he is a sanctioner. So sometimes people put the blame on God. Like one man was telling that ultimately everything is done by God only. He said, my smoking cigarette also, you know, my drinking also. Whether we do good or we do bad, ultimately everything is done by God only. Actually, there is one very famous Tamil song. This is an instruction given by what Lord Krishna gives to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, that is sung in a poetry form. Some few of you will understand when I sing this. It says, Potuvar potalum totuvar totalum pohattum kannanukke kannane taakinan kannane taakinan kannane kolai seigindran. He says, Potuvar potalum totuvar means, let the people who praise you, let them praise you, Arjuna. Let the people who curse you, let them curse you. Because ultimately, the attacker is not you, attacker is Krishna. The killer is not you, the killer is Krishna only. And you are only a nimitta, so you act. It is true that if we are a pure devotee and we have a field in which we are not the independent desirer, but Lord is the supreme controller. And Lord is the supreme actor and controller, and we simply follow what He says. And we don't act independently. Then what I said just now is true. For example, like a pure devotee is 100% transparent via media, like a glass. Like, you know, if somebody keeps a transparent glass in front of me, you can see me. Similarly, if somebody is such a nimitta, instrument in the Lord's hands, where one has independence, but one does not exercise it. See, the independence is never taken away from the soul. You have independence, but what do? You don't exercise it. You hand over your independence to the Lord. And you say, my dear Lord, you do whatever you want to do with me. I am your property. Manasa deha geho, yokichamor, arpilatu apahinanda kisho. Please take everything in your hands, and I am yours. I am your property, and you do whatever you want to do with me. Such a person can say that, you know, like Arjuna was such a person. Even if he performs an apparently inauspicious act, that is not considered inauspicious. Like Arjuna is killing. Killing is it an auspicious act? Inauspicious act. But it is not considered inauspicious. Why? Because it is simply performed by Krishna through the hands of Arjuna. That's all. Like Krishna showed Arjuna, my dear Arjun, just see Bhishma, Drona, Drupada, all these people. Bhishma, Drona, Jayadrata. Bhishma, Drona, Jayadrata, Duryodhana, Karna, they all are dead. You can see that. They all are entering into my Vishwarupa form. I have already killed them. But I want you to kill them now and take the credit. So Lord wanted to give the credit to Arjuna. But Lord, in fact, had already killed them before. So, a pure devotee is one who simply acts on behalf of Krishna. For example, a cashier in the bank is collecting lakhs of rupees and is giving out lakhs of rupees. He's completely transparent. But as soon as he puts a little bit of that money in his pocket, finished, immediately there will be a gun. He'll be caught and taken to police. Immediately, isn't it? So we all have to ask, am I acting for my sense gratification, or am I acting for Krishna's sake, Krishna's pleasure? So, if we are purely acting for Krishna's sake, all our actions are pure. Like somebody says, whatever I am doing, Lord is doing through me. I am smoking, I am drinking. They are foolish people. Why? Because they do not know the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita philosophy, which clearly says that the soul is the desirer and the Lord is the sanctioner. Lord gives sanction to the soul. Okay, do it. Say, as soon as you say sanction, just like, for example, there is a government department, you place some petition and you get a sanction. Isn't it? So, who is placing the petition? Believing anything. He is expressing his desire. I want to do this. So, do you think Lord is very happy with the living entity's plans? He is not very happy. But he reluctantly agrees. Okay. If this is what you want to do, okay. Go ahead. I'll provide you facilities for that. He is providing facilities for that. So, the living entity is desired, the Lord sanctions, and the material agent is the material nature, which fulfills the desire of the living entity. Of course, it's not that the living entity can desire anything and Lord is, you know, obliged to obliged or forced to fulfill it. It's not like that. For example, if somebody is in a human body, but they desire to eat something what is so as dirty as a stool, one wants to eat some dirty thing, then one will be forced to get into a pig's body. And the one may say, no, I don't want pig's body, I want a human body, but I want to eat dirty things. No, that's not possible. So desire alone is not the factor, but also one's, what one deserves, one's actions are also the cause of the next body. We can understand that. So we prepare our next body. So we are actually the cause. Somebody smoking cigarette, he wanted a cigarette. He can't just push the blame on God. That's why Krishna clearly says, Nādhati kaśyacit pāpam nacaivam sukṛtam vibhuhu ajñāne-nāvṛtam yānam tena muhyanti jantavah. He says clearly in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Like when the rain showers are coming down, you find there are, so many trees and plants that crop up, isn't it? Sometimes you find a mango tree coming up and giving nice mango fruits. Then you find a bubble tree coming up. So can the bubble tree blame the rain? Why did they become bubble tree? Because you sowed a bubble tree, so you got a bubble tree or a thorny tree. If you sowed a mango seed, then you get a mango tree. So the living entity is, that is why they said, Purusha Sukha Dukkanam Bhoktrutve Hetrichate. Sukha Dukkha that we endure in our life are actually due to our own action, which causes such type of sufferings in our life. So the living entity cannot blame the Lord in the heart that, you have given Anumanta, you are the Anumati you have given for doing this. Yes? For example, the government of India is training some of the students in the best colleges. They are giving them first class education. On the other hand, the government of India also has a jail where it puts some people and beats them, isn't it? And punishes them, and they are forced to break the rocks. And they are not allowed to, have high education like the students in the college. In the same manner, Lord has kept some souls in the spiritual world, who are always delighting in the spiritual pastimes of the Lord. And there are other souls who are sent to the material world, and they have to endure sufferings in this world. And the Lord is simply giving the results of our own actions, our own desires. And that should be understood very well. So, here we come to the concluding point that the living entity, in whatever circumstance he is put in now, in whatever situation or whatever field he is situated now, he has to desire that let me get such a field where I will utilize my transcendental senses, not my material senses. Number one. Number two, I want to be placed in such a field where I will not be acting independently, but Lord will be the supreme controller. And Lord will be the one who is the guide or the one who acts. And I will simply act according to His will, not according to my will. So we have to desire such a field. And that field is the body of a pure devotee. So if you see the body, pure devotee's limbs are completely purified. He sees spiritually, he hears spiritually, he smells spiritually, eats spiritually, his touch is spiritual, and his mind is spiritualized also. Intelligence is spiritual. His ego is surrendered to Krishna completely. So he has completely become a sold-out servant of Krishna. Absolutely. And thus you will find the Lord is seated in his heart also. The Lord will give him perfect direction how to return back to spiritual world. Lord is giving anumati to all the living entities, but for a pure devotee, Lord will guide him even more specially, as he says, Dadami buddhi yogantam yenamam piyantite. Isn't it? He says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. We should chant the holy names of the Lord in a mood of love and surrender. It's very important. And we should hear those holy names very attentively. And we should remember and meditate on the beautiful form, pastimes, activities and qualities and characteristics of the Lord. So when we do these things, that's called as bhajatam, priti purvakam. Priti means with love. And then Lord will become a personal guide. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. That buddhi is very special because that buddhi is the transcendental buddhi Lord will give. Lord will never allow his devotee to go in the wrong path. If need be, the Lord will chastise a pure devotee. Chastise a devotee to come to the right path. Sometimes the Lord feels that, like for example, the Paramatma will not do that. There is a big difference between Paramatma guiding us and the Lord directly guiding us. You know, if somebody wants a cigarette and Paramatma will say, here is a cigarette, take it. Whereas, when a person has become a proper devotee and he is desiring something material, you know that famous verse? He says, Satcharanamrita diya Vishaya Bulaiva. What is the first part? Ami Vigna Yehi Murta Vishayake Nadiva. Satcharanamrita diya Vishaya Bulaiva. He says, I know what is good for my devotee, and if my devotee desires some bad thing or wrong thing that will harm him in his spiritual life, what I will do? I will give him a slap and bring him to his senses. And I will give my own charanamrit by which I will destroy the material desires in the heart of my devotee, like I did in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. I will vanquish the material desires in my devotee's heart, and I will, in this way, offer his spiritual desires. God says, how fortunate is the soul for whom the Lord treats like this. We would like to be that fortunate one also. Because, you know, often we desire so many material things in this world and we try to delight in material enjoyment with our impure mind and senses, and we only invite unlimited suffering in this world. So, but if we constantly pray to the Lord for awakening our transcendental senses and to also understand the conditioning of the field in which we are situated. We all have no limitations in our field. Well, how dangerous is the field in which we are situated, in tamoguna and rajoguna field. And instead of blaming the field, we take responsibility for our actions, because we have the free will. We have the free choice. If we don't have the free choice, in fact, we have the free choice to avoid acting sinfully. We have the free choice. If you don't have the free choice, then shastras have no meaning at all. Then why should the shastra say, this is good, do it. This is bad, do it. If everything is destined, then what is the meaning of shastra saying good and bad in our life? So we should not blame the destiny or the fate. We have to know that we have the free will, and it is we who have chosen the circumstances in which we are now. And if we don't utilize our free will to act rightly right now, then we will plunge ourselves in a more greater predicament in future. So one should always dread sin, and one should shun sinful activities, and one should follow the path of the Lord very carefully. If you are really keen about returning back to the spiritual world in this very life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says that in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. He keeps warning, if one is really serious about going back home back to Godhead, then one should take the instructions of the Lord very, very seriously. One should take them to the heart and apply them in one's life. And in this way, we will also find we get a lot of help from the Lord also when we make the right choice. When you make the right choice, you get a reward also. You see, the material nature is so designed that those who do sinful activities, they are discouraged through the punishments. You will see that. Like somebody is smoking, he gets cancer, isn't it? Somebody is drinking, he gets a problem in the liver. What do you call it? Cirrhosis, is it? Liver cirrhosis, isn't it? They get some disease, now what do you call it? There's a drink, they get problem in the liver. Cirrhosis, they call it. Deadly problems they get. That means the Maya is so wonderfully arranged by the Lord that she discourages sinful activities. It's not that, you know, if we are doing sin and Lord is saying, you go on doing sin, very nice, and then when you are taken to hell, I will give you suffering there. No. Even in this world itself, we are discouraged through the concomitant sufferings that we get. And you do good activities, you also get good results. Like you do yoga and meditation. Do you get any bad results? Any of you do yogasana or you do meditation, do you get any? Yeah? You do, isn't it? Yeah. You get good results, isn't it? You feel more healthy in body and mind, isn't it? You do mantra meditation chanting. You advance more and more in your consciousness. So you do good activities, you get good results. You do bad activities, you get bad results. Which means the material nature is so designed by the Lord that the Lord Himself is impelling us to lead the righteous path. And is discouraging us when you go in the wrong path. Just like, you know, you touch fire, you get a burning sensation. Why it is kept? So that, you know, you can take your hand away. You can save yourself. Similarly, the sinful activities also give suffering. And the suffering implies that you should not do them. That's the meaning. So, the living entity should పురుష ప్రకృతితో ఈ బుంతేయ ప్రకృతి జాన్ గుణ కారణం గుణ సంఘ అఫ్ కోర్స్ బై డూయింగ్ సంఘ విత్ ద ప్రీమోటర్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ వీ మే గెట్ రాంగ్ డిజైర్ బట్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు నో దే ఆర్ అరైజింగ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఇన్ఫ్యూజ్ సెన్స్ సో ప్రాపర్ రైటింగ్ ఆన్ భాగవతం పర్పోజ్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ ఫుల్లీ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ ద లార్డ్ సర్వీస్ విత్ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ సెన్సెస్ కెన్ నెవర్ ఫాల్ డౌన్ ఐ లవ్ దిస్ సెంటెన్స్ రియల్లీ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ రిపీట్ ద సెంటెన్స్ One who is fully engaged in the Lord's service with purified senses can never fall down. So this is somewhat like that verse, Mamchi Abde Vicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Savanantamati Tetan Pramuvaya. So here two words are very important. One is, you have to be fully engaged, not partially engaged. Not one leg in Krishna consciousness, one leg in Maya. Two legs in two boats. So that is fully engaged in Krishna service. With kaya, vacha, manasa, everything. And then he says, purified senses. So, rishikena, rishikesha samanam. When we do that, then the senses become purified also. And with purified senses, one can very easily attain the transcendental realization of Krishna. Very easily. These two conditions, we fulfill them. So this is a very important verse. One who is fully engaged in the Lord's service with purified senses can never fall down. Somebody says, oh, you are a devotee, she was a devotee, why did they fall down? They may not be fulfilling this condition. They might have had impure senses, they might be partially engaged, or they may be making a show of devotion, you know. If one is fully engaged, one can never fall down. And I thought Haridas Thakur was a fitting example for this. He was fully engaged. Thirak names a day, he was chanting all the 24 hours Krishna conscious. And he also had purified sins completely. Pure devotee. So you see, Paramatma, how much work he does for the living entity, you can see. He is sanctioning the pleasure and pain for the living entity and he's a permitter. So if one understands the presence of the super soul, then one will avoid one can avoid sinful activities. If one can always remember the presence of the Paramatma, super soul. My Lord, actually I have been watching this talk time to time. Then when the speaker is speaking, they will take the concepts and they will think of relevant examples in their own mind. It's very easy for them, based on their realization also. That's why you find, you know, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking, Parikshit is sitting, and rapt attention, 7 days, 7 nights, you know, without drinking water, without eating food, without sleeping, you know, all day and night, he's sitting and hearing, he's sitting and speaking. So you may wonder, such a didactic lecture, how did the Parikshit not go to sleep, you know? You may wonder. The reason is very simple, he was internally alert, you know. So internally alert can think of easily, that's why you can easily see Parikshit's questions are so powerful. Parikshit is actually able to apply and see, and he's asking very pertinent questions also.
Who is the seventh canto? Narada's talk to he mentions about one way of self realization, where he says that it's like, what that was? It's like, you know, just like you put too much water into the fire, yes. The fire stops.
That's correct.
Similarly, he says that
too much
material enjoyment also will
burn a person. He'll get fried out.
Yeah.
And he'll come running to Krishna. Yeah. That happens with some people, not with all. That's the problem. If it happens with all, then you can have a generalized formula. Yeah. So there are two ways to rush to Krishna's lotus feet. One is to understand the danger of the sharpness of material enjoyment, and by having heard it, run to Krishna. You know, that's one way. Another one is to experience it, and the experience is so painful, and Bhagavatam gives vivid examples. Like Yayati, he went through mental enjoyment. Puranjana, you know, and Pururava, for example. All these people you will find in Bhagavatam, there are many examples of people who went through the mental enjoyment and they terribly suffered, and then they took shelter of Lotus Feet of Krishna.
So people like this, Osho and all, you know.
They use this only, yeah. They use
also with the Shastra
Realm. Yeah. No, they are Sambhogya Samadhi, which he says, what according to him he says that you know, don't suppress. Enjoy, 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 and then you will get frustrated with it. You know, you will get fried out, and then you will naturally go to God, he says. But what happens with material enjoyment is, you know, when you enjoy, you get frustrated. And you want to go to God. Again, you want to enjoy. Because the tendency to enjoy is so deep-rooted, so strong. And every time you do a sin, then along with the sinful reaction comes the proclivity to commit the same sin again. That counter, we should not forget that component, you know. That means, you know, you are vitiating your problem, you know. You are actually creating a very dangerous situation for yourself. Because every time you commit sin, again and again, the tendency for committing sin increases. At one point of time, well, like for example, Prabhupada says, how people have no ability to enjoy the senses, but still people endeavor for more and more. And that is very, very frustrating for them. Life after life, living in it has to struggle like that. So, that is why it is said, out of the two, the Vishaya and Vishaya, Vishaya is more dangerous. Vishaya will only kill your body once, but Vishaya will make you take million bodies. You know, Vishaya is more dangerous. We should fear. One can even rather relinquish his body, rather than to become a victim of Vishaya, material enjoyment. Yeah. They're really foolish. In fact, we have to also know that when we, for example, in our society, there are brahmacharis, sannyasis, and all those who relinquish all the worldly pressures and they are supposed to focus on God, they have to develop a higher taste in spiritual life. If they don't develop a higher taste, then they will naturally go back to the lower taste. And the same with grihasthas also. Like a grihastha, for example, Prabhupada gives many rules and regulations for grihasthas also. Like, you know, they should learn to lead a simple life centered around Krishna. So they have to wake up in the morning, do Mangala Arati, Narsingha Arati, do the chanting, you know, have Bhagavatam class, and they should start delighting in reading Bhagavatam. Then what will happen? The family problems will reduce. Husband, wife, quarrel, or, you know, we don't have money problem, we don't have that, we don't have this. So many kinds of problems come, you see. So if you don't do sufficient, you know, spiritual charging, then the problems of the material world will become gigantic. Even for a grihastha also. They will suffer terribly. So it's irrespective of brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, anybody. They will have to suffer a lot. Same with brahmachari also. Brahmachari does not develop a higher taste through shastric study and through submissiveness and surrender and things like that. Then he will be a very dissatisfied brahmachari. And he will be constantly like that mithyachara sa uchyate. He says, you know, karmendriyane samyamyayaste manasasmaran. Indriyatana mudatma mithyachara sa uchyate. He will be reading like that. Yeah. So, there is no assurance that actually there are some foolish people who say, I have these material desires, let me enjoy them, you know, so that, you know, they will get finished. It's like cancelling, they think. Okay, I have a material desire, I enjoy it, so it cancels now. No, it becomes double. You know, not that it goes away, you know, by enjoying that.
Ultimately, everybody has to come to the
point. But some people, some people, what happens to them, when they try to enjoy material desires, they get such a burning experience. They come running to Krishna. And then there also they hear. You know? They hear and they also have some experience, you know, coupling up that experience with what they have heard and both the things together. Now they decide to give up material enjoyment of this world. Yeah.
Actually, I just remembered that once Anand Maharaj was giving a lecture on this. He was saying that it is a technique that is mentioned in the Shastra, but he said no acharya recommends it.
Correct. Yeah.
Nobody recommends it.
It's a very risky path.
Yeah, risky path.
Yeah. So when you say material enjoyment, it can be many things. For example, watching a movie has been a habit for many of us, isn't it? Watching a movie, or eating foods that are not offered. We are certainly taking risks. Similarly, the quota of enjoyment is given in every level. Whether the house that you own, or the money that you possess, the food that you eat, or the sex enjoyment, or things that are outside the purview of Krishna consciousness, like the games and the movies and the activities which are outside the purview of Krishna consciousness. So material enjoyment, we can have a long list in this world. For every one of our senses, there are millions of enjoyment. So all of us, you know, Paramatma is sitting in our heart, and we have to be sincere. Am I doing this for Krishna service, or am I doing it for my own sense gratification? We all have to ask this question. Yeah. Because, you know, the tendency of material enjoyment is very strong. Like I had a boy, one of the boys coming to our program. So this was a new boy, you know, he was chanting some 6-8 rounds and devotees were all pushing him to come to 16, you know. And this boy, I don't know how they got him, he was a very brilliant man, he was a topper in the class and he was in music troupe also in his IIT, you know. So he used to play guitar, you know, electric guitar, you know, and it would be very fascinating, you know. People would appreciate it very much. So somehow when he started coming to our voice programs and everything, somebody told him that, you know, guitar is maya, you know, you have to give it up, you know. So when I had gone and to give the program, he came and asked me. He said, I have a question, personally met me and asked me. He said, I am very attached to this guitar. I said, oh, no problem, you can play guitar for Krishna, I said. But the problem is, you know, of course I can play for Krishna also, but I was in music troupe before, you know. So my old friends keep calling me, you know, for playing for the Karmi songs. He said, I asked, how often? He said, 2-3 times in a year, he said. I said, okay, no problem, you can go, I told him. Because he was a very young devotee, you can't be too strict, you know, with new people. I said, 2-3 times in a year is no deal, you know. No problem. Then he said, Prabhuji, sometimes they sing very dirty songs and all it. So then what do you want to do? I asked him. He said, okay, I can avoid, and I can tell them that I'll play only for certain songs and not for the others, he said. I said, okay, you play, I said. The next day he came again. Prabhuji, you really mean I can go to the stage and play? He asked me. I said, yes, I told you, no problem. Prabhuji, my only problem is, you know, when I go to the stage and I'm playing guitar, I always look at the corner, those 3-4 girls who are always watching me, whether they're watching me or not, you know. You know, when I'm playing the guitar. So I was so amazed. Krishna consciousness is so powerful. In such an early stage, he could detect his flaw. You see? In such, he's just standing 6 or 7 rounds now. So then I told him, oh, that's not a serious problem. He had the courage to tell also, yeah. He came and told me. Then I told him, oh, this is just a, you know, this kind of, you know, tendency is there in all of us. You know, we all want to win the heart of others. I told him, gradually it will go away, don't worry, you chant Hare Krishna, I told him. Later he came and told me, Prabhuji, I gave up the idea, I dropped the idea of going. And I'll play guitar only for Krishna, you know. So, see, this is a small example I'm telling you. Now we all can see in our own lives, you know. We all can see how we misuse the resources given by Krishna for our own enjoyment. And it is very subtle. Sometimes you are the only person who knows it and nobody knows that. In your own heart, secretly you are enjoying material enjoyment you are doing. But don't think you are the only one. That's why the next verse is Upadrishta Hanumanta. There is one more witness watching. His name is Mr. Paramatma. Super soul. He's also watching, he's saying. And he can see practically everything. He can even study our desires, what we are thinking, what we are desiring. It's very, very powerful. Shri Prabhupada ki.